So good morning to the universe. I'm Rick Walton, cricketmanwales.com, and I'm with Mark O'Leary, who is gun coach extraordinaire at, I hope I get the name right, Cardiff MCCU scheme. I'm going to have to start, mate, by asking you to just to give me a little bit of detail on that. What is the MCCU scheme? What kind of shape is it in? I mean, in terms of the structure of it in Cardiff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, mate.
Yeah, the scheme is made up of six centres around the country, and it's been running for 18 years.
Okay.
So you've got Cardiff, Leeds, Oxford, Cambridge, Durham and Loughborough.
Right.
Cardiff is made up of the three constituent universities, which is Cardiff Met, Cardiff University and the University of South Wales.
Okay.
So the squad is selected from the three universities, and basically the structure is that we mirror first class cricket and a first class environment for the lads that decide and females that decide to come to university and I suppose study for their degree.
Yeah.
And they've got that bed to fall back on if things don't work out for them as a professional or just in cricket in general.
Okay. Right, so yeah, just going back on that, because male-female split, have I got that right? You are running a women's team and just one men's team, or is that a conditional on what kind of applicants you get, or how does that actually work?
So the MCCU scheme is, we've got 23 players at the moment.
Right.
We've got two females in that scheme as well.
Okay.
So they train with the males.
Right.
And basically, we've got a Cardiff Met cricket team, which they slot into, which has got a squad of about 15 females in that side. And they were successful and won the league this year.
Okay, brilliant. But those two are playing, you know, are they playing elite level cricket here, if you like, or do they go to a central women's university thing?
Yeah,
do you want to be clear on that one?
Yeah, so they're basically involved with Western Storm.
Right, okay.
Morgan Academy, Wales. So they're getting their elite cricket away from here, and we just manage that for them and mirror an environment for them. So when they're ready to go back to the sort of teams there.
Okay, wonderful. So the MCCU scheme generally, which is in and out of the press, and you know, we could be forgiven for not quite getting where it's at the moment. And by that I mean changes of funding over the last period, you know, of 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
It's felt, as an outsider, very much like, okay, that it's being seen through for this period, but how secure is that? You know, where is that going to? I mean, how does that feel from your point of view?
Yeah.
Forward of this point.
It's an interesting one because the ECB originally started the scheme in 2000.
Yeah.
The MCC then took it over, I think it was 2008. So the scheme's been going for the 18 years. The MCC have now come out in the press and spoke to our coaches and heads of sport at the universities to say they're no longer going to pursue the funding from 2020, 2021.
Right.
So there's a transition, changeover period, I suppose, that the ECB are going to take that on board.
Okay. And they've committed doing
that,
correct?
Have,
the ECB
yes.
have?
Yes.
Okay. So, the you know, on one level, it's kind of medium secure, for want of a bit of an expression. But, yeah, how does that feel? And in terms of the detail, maybe, without talking too much about money things that you possibly can't speak about, is it plannable, you know, the next 2 years and beyond, are you clear that you can operate at a level that you're satisfied with or better, or is that a too difficult a question?
No, that's fine. I think firstly I'd like to thank the MCC personally
for the
work that they've put in and helped me as a coach as well, and they've supported so many of the university teams and players that have come through. I think 26%, maybe slightly more, playing first class cricket that have come through an MCCU centre, so they've done a wonderful job.
Yeah.
The answer to your question, we've been in talks, myself and other coaches and other heads of sport, with David Graveney, who's from the ECB, who's heading up the sort of the future of the schemes with the ECB. With regards to finance, we're not quite sure what that finance is going to be.
Right.
But the ECB want us to be as professional as possible. And as you know, we run a professional tight ship at Cardiff. And as far as I'm aware, that will stay the same.
Okay. So you've had that kind of assurance, shall we put it that way?
Yeah.
But not more detail or not detail that you can share. And I would understand.
No. Honestly, don't fully know yet what the structure's going to be. So the ECB have been really, or David Gray has been really sort of helpful in coming forward and asking the coaches, look, where do we see the centres? What sort of format would we like to play? So they, you know, they are asking advice from us, which is great.
Good.
I think that. Maybe a bit more community work, and female cricket will be identified as part of the.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, sticking with that again, because we're probably both in. I've never met Foxy Fowler, Graham Fowler, but he sounds like a great guy in lots of ways. But also, he's had his moments, shall we say, around this scheme. He set it up, in Durham. And God bless him for that. But I think, interestingly, coming back on your last point, that he stepped away from it actually because he thought it should be a real proper elite level cricket scheme, and he felt, I believe, in Durham that he was being pressed to make it more of a community scheme, you know, maybe as well, or the percentages would have been changed or whatever. Have you got any concerns about that, or do you think you can maintain, you know, what appears to be, and we'll talk about this in detail, really genuinely high level cricket?
I think the I know that the priority, the MCC have always said that, you know, the aim is to produce professional cricketers.
Yeah.
What's really close to my heart, and I fully understand that, and yes, that is what we're trying to do. But also, these students that come through become more rounded individuals from their degrees, their studies. As you know, I've had three phone calls this morning. Two of the lads have just got first in economics.
Yeah, good work, fellas.
Which is outstanding. And that's close to my heart. And
I've
been in the scheme and involved, if the squad members do really well with the university work, the jigsaw starts to come together, that they'll do well on the field with their performances. Let's not forget about professional cricket. There's lads that have come through, or squad members that have come through here, that are working in the IPL in marketing. So there's a lot that have come through the scheme in every centre that are involved in cricket, not just at a professional level. But ultimately, that's what we're looking to do.
Okay, great. Accept that fully. But again, coming back to this argument, there's quite a range, inevitably, of opinion about everything in there. But what strikes me is, because I've heard and read stuff in the last couple of days and spoken, as I've said to you earlier, with kind of elite level, again, journalists about this stuff and the stories that are around it. And they, you know, say, for example, on the one end of this body of opinion, some people in the ECB, for example, question the value of this scheme because it doesn't deliver enough, you know, first-class cricketers. So I'm going to ask you in a minute to slightly counter that, or tell me some of those success stories. And also, inevitably, some people don't get this holistic view of it, which I get completely, and I think it really should be about developing people and different, you know, zillions of skills rather than just pure cricket. But, you know, so come back to the first bit of that, if you would, the who's come through this scheme, and, you know, that you've had experience of and are proud of, probably, for where they've gone at that, on purely on the cricket pitch.
Yeah, examples would be Jake Libby, who in his first year did not get in the MCCU scheme.
Right.
I wasn't coach then, but I came as coach, head coach, into his second year. Now, Jake has come into the scheme in his second year, very laid back, very professional. His university results were exemplary. First at training, head down, worked really hard. Yeah. He's now got a full-time professional contract. We're not.
Yeah.
Alex Thompson, Tom Cullen, two fairy tale, I suppose, journeys for them. They were not affiliated with any county before they came to university. They performed really well on and off the field.
Okay.
And they haven't looked back. Alex is now with Warwickshire County Cricket Club, and Tom's with Glamorgan.
Yeah.
And that's just two out of the 18 years. We've got Heather Knight, who is captain of the England World Cup winning side last year.
Yeah, we're both craning our necks to look up. There's a big series of pictures in this office, which I will post some pictures of, with, I'm guessing, 20, 30 players. With Heather Knight in particular, sort of pride of place in a way, yeah. Understandably. But go on, other stories there briefly.
Obviously, Matt Hobden and
Andrew
Tom
Salter,
Allen,
I know personally.
Anymore. You've got Andrew Salter, Kieran Bull, Owen Morgan, Tim Rouse.
Okay.
And Cameron Herring. So Cameron Herring was a professional before he came to university.
Right.
Had 3 years with Gloucestershire.
Okay.
Finished on the staff there and come to get his degree, and has been a vital part of his experience going for the scheme has been outstanding, really.
Okay. And again, to come back to that figure that you've put, I think it is 25-26% of current first-class cricketers have been through this scheme at one of the six centres, yeah?
Yes.
Coming back to that, the centres thing, because again, in the press, in the last couple of days, literally, there's this notion that maybe more centres may erupt, as it were. I think there's three or four, possibly, that are in contention. We'll talk about those maybe in a minute. Do you think, happy days, that's wonderful, more guys and gals will be getting fantastic cricket coaching, or do you fear some kind of level of dilution about that, or how does that, you know, how do you imagine that will be?
Yeah, it's probably a bit too early to give my full answer, but just thinking with that question, I think that personally the six centres works, it has worked.
Okay.
It could dilute the system. Right. However, it could work the other way, where if an example could be, if there was a scheme in London, that Middlesex would work with that scheme, Surrey would work with that scheme really tight, and maybe the players on the academy would get sort of pushed is the wrong word, advised to go to university.
Right.
And do courses.
Yeah.
And that could be anything from an apprenticeship as an electrician. It hasn't got to be a
sports-based course at all. Right, yeah,
so,
sure.
So I think it has its pluses in both for and against.
Okay, it'd be really interesting to see how that plays out.
Again, I suppose, with the six centres that we have, if they kept the six centres, there might be more funding available instead of making it to eight or nine.
Yeah,
so
good point, good point.
Yeah, it's all up in the air. We haven't been told 100%, but I'll support it in any way, because I just think the whole value of university cricket and studying is just irreplaceable.
Yeah, what you know very well, I'm a Twitter fiend, and what the strong impression that you get from not just following your account, but the sort of ambience around that is this thing that, do you know what, it is bigger than the cricket, and you know, the academic stuff, the level of commitment, you know, as well as the sort of social skills and all that stuff that sounds a bit softy, lefty, or whatever. But the range of benefits to people coming through this scheme are pretty impressive. Yes.
Yeah, 100%. As you know, I run a tight ship here.
Yeah.
And just an example for a week of an MCCU squad member. So they will have 3 to 4 S&C sessions per week.
Right.
Starting at 7:30 in the morning. 2 to 3 cricket practices per week, and all this is managed around their studies.
Yeah.
And then you've got your massage, physio, performance analysis, sports psych. So we, as we say, first class cricketers, first class degrees.
Yeah. And again, sorry, I'm just interrupting, but we've just walked through the facilities here, haven't we?
Yeah.
And I've met strength and conditioning team, and okay, maybe it's not very easily just done on the radio, as it were, but believe me, people, we are talking very high level of expertise, and the demands, in a good way, on the students are not inconsiderable, are they? I mean, another word, if you could, about that, students managing themselves and your role in that. I mean, because it must be seriously challenging for your average 19-year-old male, female, or similar, you know, age-wise, to get through this stuff. If you're getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go and do your S&C work, and then you've got to write a zoology dissertation, and you have to, do you know what I mean? All that stuff.
Yeah,
how is that?
No, it's a bit of an eye opener, I think, for the the first years. They obviously leave school, come to university, and places are tight. So this year we had a squad of 23, and we probably trial about 100 players per year. So, and if you take out 10 third years that have left,
right,
and if the first and second years are successful to stay in that squad originally, that's only 10 places. However, everybody trials at the beginning of the year because, as we know in sport, there's always somebody else knocking on the door.
So to be clear on that, first year this year, who is really good, may possibly be shown the... I'm trying to put this politely. It's competitive. Therefore, that first year is not guaranteed a place the following year. If somebody from India, we've just had this conversation, a couple of guys have applied from India, could happen from anywhere, because your reputation is really strong, clearly. Yeah, player X or Y is not certain, even if he's really or she's really, really good in that first year, they will see out the plate. You know, obviously, they can see out their degree, but they will not necessarily get through 3 years of Cardiff Met cricket.
And it will start afresh. So there's, as we mentioned, Jake Libby, there's players now, there's a third year, I'm not going to mention his name, who wasn't in the squad for the past 2 years.
Right.
But he's got in his final year.
Yeah.
And again, it's about the balance of the side. So it's not just, oh, he's a really good player, he had a good year at school.
Of course.
We don't want 10 wicketkeepers or six leg spinners, whatever.
Yeah.
And just going back to what we were talking about, the schedule of the students, what's really important, and I know I keep saying we run a tight ship, but they've got to enjoy their university experience as well. And the players know that. There's a time and a place.
Right.
So Wednesday night is student night. We don't have S&C Thursday morning.
Okay.
You know, so there's a bit of give and take as
myself
as a coach and the players. Right.
Talking about you personally, if we could, you know, your reputation, young man, is very strong. And I thought, you know, there is a sense out there again that you're a sort of coming man in terms of you're a level 4 coach. There's lots of love and respect for your workshops that you do around Wales, which I've been around myself. It does slightly beg the question, you know, where to for Mr. O'Leary? Sorry, beg your pardon. Is he happy? You know, does he foresee something different at some stage? Unfair question, I get that, but I put it anyway. What do you think?
Well, firstly, thanks for the kind words. I'll give you £10 later.
No worries.
Interesting. I love my job.
Yeah.
I love working in a university. I love working with young males and females, or say young adults, and seeing them grow as people, as players, in the, I suppose, the bigger picture, and moving on and going out into the big bad world, whether that's playing county cricket or working in the office or whatever.
Yeah.
Travelling. With regards to myself, I think I would like to give county cricket a go as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Doubts in my mind is cutthroat.
Yeah.
Performance is at the highest level, and if you don't perform, I suppose you're out, and you haven't got a job. So, two ways of looking at it. I love my job, but if an opportunity come up, I'm sure it would be silly not to.
Okay, and again, on the sort of broad, on the coaching thing specifically, you know, we all talk about coaching philosophies, don't we? And I think I understand what yours is about, but care to say a few things about what feels really good to you about cricket, or how, you know, what's important to you as an individual, maybe irrespective of the level that you're coaching at, but tie it back to that level if you want to.
Every coach wants to be successful, and that they'd be telling fibs if they didn't want to be. So when we play at Lord's, you know, you want to win and be successful, but my philosophy is it's all about the player. So players come first, on their performances, academic work, even if I'm working with youngsters, overall to have fun and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And we talk about our coaching philosophies. I think philosophies personally should change.
Right.
It shouldn't be set in stone. Philosophies would change due to the age of the player, the ability of the player, and all those sorts of things come into play. But as long as players develop as people on and off the field, I feel is that I've done my job.
Yeah, okay. Well, again, we've just spoken not long ago about a kind of team culture, discipline thing.
Yeah.
Do you want to just say something about that? Because I was quite struck by what you said about the, not the All Blacks connection, but that kind of, behaviour, should we call it?
Yeah, I think that cultures can change depending on individuals that you have in your side, but we at Cardiff have probably got a really good culture at the moment. And again, the environment has got to be installed from the coaching staff, because I've got quite a big team around me. An example would be, I'm not going to name them, one of the players we played at Usk Cricket Club, which is our home ground, and he came and asked me where would I get a sweeping brush from, and I said, well, what do you want that for? He said, well, I'm going to sweep the changing rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for that to happen, that individual I would think would be do okay in life.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he would, but and again, we lost the game, I think, but that is just, for me, that is not part of my philosophy, but something that I
got. It's a healthy level of respect for stuff, isn't it, that maybe is bigger than the game, maybe, you know. Yeah, okay, yeah, great. Okay, yeah, nearly done, mate, and I'm very grateful for everything you've said. Just because it's nice to finish on a kind of high note. What is it that you love about cricket? Because I know you're still playing to a high level, for example. So would it be, you know, bowling leg spin? Or would it be, again, I don't want to feed you that one.
Yeah.
What's the magic thing that, and I know that's going to change maybe, day to day maybe, but...
I've retired from club cricket, but I'm still playing MCC, and I'm lucky enough to be playing in the Royal Household, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
There's no better feeling than a leg spinner bowling the ball, beating the outside edge,
mm-hmm.
or bowling a googly and it coming back in between the gate, or seeing a flipper slide across the floor, LBW.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm not good enough to do it anymore. I can demonstrate, but I can't
you
do
can
it
demonstrate.
Outside.
I tell you what, hilarious but true, depending on what time we got, I can also bowl leg spin, right?
Yeah.
Not at your level, but I can make the ball turn. Hilarious but true,
yeah.
Like more than most people I know again.
Yeah.
And I can bowl a googly occasionally, but like most of the universe, it's kind of by accident. And I've seen you do this in a workshop, which is very impressive. The googly was, you know, repeated in a way that most of us can only dream about. We might even go and do that in a minute.
Yeah.
If we don't, I'm going to say thank you again. I'm going to wish you all the best. As I know, lots of people around Welsh cricket do. The work is clearly outstanding. Long may it be funded. Well done, mate. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Really appreciate it.
Cheers.
Thank you. Lost £70,000.